Hi everybody, welcome to This Way of Travel. Well, no, just not This Way of Travel. It's a Sven Joe Travel Show. Sven, what do we do here?
Well, it's the second time that we're doing this, and this is like so last minute. Again, you would think we get more and more experience with setting up this live stream, but we have loads of topics for you, and we will talk about travel news. We'll go into a country, a mystery country that we will discuss and give you all the tips you need or that one of us needs to know from
exactly,
that country.
Exactly.
If you want to know anything from us later on during this stream, leave those things down in the comments below as well, and we will get back to those later on as well.
And don't forget, we're also going to be talking about our gear, because that's a common question that we always get. So we thought, let's talk about gear, so we'll cover that as well.
So, shall we start with the news?
Okay, so we've got the like flashy like logo and everything, but animation, but we don't actually have any music. So guys, if you do have a sting that we can use, do send it over, because chances are we'll use it. We're just too lazy to find a good sting right now.
Yeah, so this is just a standard one that I'm using on my videos, and very quick one, so any suggestions are welcome. But let's start with the news, what's happening at the moment.
Well, the biggest news, I think, is you may have heard of a small little event called ITB. Do you know what's ITB?
Well, I've heard people talking about this event, well, last week during the Traverse event, and there was, So tell me more about it, because I know a little bit about it, but I guess most of the people there don't know what ITB is.
Well, just in case you've never heard of ITB, ITB is one of the biggest consumer tourism shows around the world. It's based in Berlin, and I think it attracts over 150,000 people or something like that. And unfortunately, because of the coronavirus that you may have heard a few tales things about, it's been cancelled. But not on top of that, well, it got cancelled because citing, obviously, public health and safety. But secondly, it got cancelled because, there's a second event called, Berlin Travel Festival, which up until 5 days ago was still running, but that got cancelled as well. So lots of, you know, anxiety, a bit of like, you know, health and safety there. It's probably a good thing that it's been cancelled. There's a few bad news happening about the coronavirus around the world.
Just talking about that, there's two things happening with me personally due to this coronavirus. One is I booked my trip to Paris this weekend for the Easter weekend.
Yeah.
Well, they just decided in Louvre to close down last Sunday. So I'm not sure how that will play out. They decided to close down venues in Paris as well. So
when are you supposed to be going out to Paris?
So Easter weekend, so 9th till the 11th of April.
Oh no, so we will see. That's not good news.
So we will see how that play out. Yeah. I already had a trip cancelled in February due to the coronavirus, which was China.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll see if we can even go to Paris in a month's time.
Yep.
And then secondly, I also do in my free time some travel plans to people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one person, he was supposed to go the last weekend of April till like the first week of May.
Mm-hmm.
And his flight got cancelled as well. His Delta Airlines flight from America to Japan is cancelled due to the fact that the American government is now recommending people not to go to Japan.
Yeah, I've heard a few whispers about that. I've been keeping the tails on it. So if any of the viewers have had their plans changed because of the coronavirus, or know of anybody, let us know in the comments.
So talking about this coronavirus, maybe I saw this image just before as well, where they just had this tourist pictures like before and after.
That's
like
in Venice.
That's
in Venice.
Yeah, no, exactly. So if you scroll to this list, it's like this is Milan.
Yeah.
Before, so this is like in April 2018.
Uh-huh.
And then now in coronavirus time, the only things that are still like willing to come there are the pigeons. They're still willing to visit the square.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we know the Spanish Steps.
Yep.
The famous ones.
Yep.
Perfect time to take pictures, I would say.
You know what? I gotta say, this is like a really good
Colosseum in Rome.
Yeah.
We know that. Like happy Asian person standing there on the right, like
exactly.
Happy days.
Not cheesy at all.
Some masks, still Asian influence,
but it's looking pretty dead.
It's pretty dead.
Oh my day.
I must say, this picture at Vittoriano looks quite empty already, to be fair, in 2016. Yeah. I don't know. I think this should be busier normally, but...
Yeah.
Well, still, that's really bad, yeah.
So by sounds of things, guys, if you want to go to take your photos with less people around the big tourist sites around Europe, this is a good time to go.
Yeah, so this was Louvre as well. This is normal Louvre day.
Uh-huh, yep.
And last Sunday, literally 2 days ago.
Wow.
They closed it down. So,
oh,
yeah.
My days. That is definitely not good news.
Venice, popular Venice. Uh-huh. Carnival season at the moment.
Yep. Well, it ended a few days early, I think.
Yeah, no, so this was during Carnival.
Uh-huh.
Well, just after Carnival, February 25th.
Oh my days, it really is quiet.
I've never been to Venice, but this is the perfect moment, I guess,
uh-huh,
to get there.
Yep.
So yeah, that's happening over there. I guess what we should do is move from here to the gear. Shall we start with the travel gear?
Well, there's actually one more thing to talk about, really, really thing to talk about, and that is the Keyframe conference, video conference.
Oh, yeah.
So just in case you guys may not know, there's this great group of people called Traverse. It's a community of bloggers, travel Instagrammers, travel video people. And every year they do Traverse, which is a big blogger conference. But now what they've done, they're actually doing a video one. The first one was last year. Really, really good in Hamburg. Definitely check out some of the videos on YouTube. And they've just announced the second year, and it's going to be in Brighton in the first week of July. And
just around the corner.
Chances are I will be going. I just need to double check a few things will work. How about you? Will you be going?
I'm not sure, to be fair. I mm-hmm. have some other obligations as well that are taking part, so I'm not sure if I'm able to go. But Brighton is around the corner, but I have some work to do as well, some obligations.
Well,
so,
well, if you're interested in going to Keyframe or have any interest in video, you should definitely go to Keyframe because it's a great great conference. Lasts 2 or 3 days. I think it's 3 days. Was it 2 days? Anyway, it starts. It's a really good conference. You'll meet some really interesting people. You'll learn loads of new skills. Meet some incredible people. Whether you're new or a bit of a old hand at video,
talk about our gear.
Yeah.
So let's start with your gear, I guess. Like we are, I guess, I don't know exactly what your gear is, but
okay.
I assume that we have a kind of different setup in filming, but I might be completely wrong here.
Yeah, right.
So it would be interesting to know what you're using.
Okay, well, just in case people don't know, I actually freelance as a videographer. So one of the things that I need and rely on is a good camera. Now, there's loads of different types of cameras. My camera is of choice is the GH5, which I'm using right now. It's a great camera. It's really, really versatile. It's got built-in stabilization. Not fantastic for low light, but it's a good all-round camera and uses a series of lens called a Micro Four Thirds. A lot cheaper than the full-frame lenses. And that's my choice of cameras. Which camera do you use?
Just talking about GH5, because when I talk about my camera, you might know where this question is coming from, but do you not think this is quite a heavy thing to carry around? Are you using different lenses as well, or is it just the normal kit?
Good question. So I predominantly, 99% of the time when I'm traveling around, I use one lens, and it's this lens what I'm using right now, the 12-35mm. The only time when I'm using my other lenses is when I'm actually wanting a very specific type of beauty shots. But if I wanted to film more of a cinematic type sequence, I might use another lens because it's just better for that.
But let's say you're going on a trip and you don't know what you will shoot during that trip. You're going for a week to, I don't know, somewhere in Europe.
Yep.
Would you take just your camera with one lens, or would you take several lenses just in case? Or?
Well, okay, so 99% of the time, I will be taking just the one lens, this lens I'm using right now. Mm-hmm. But to be perfectly honest, if you're not very specific about the type of thing that you want to film, use a smartphone. Like smartphone filming captures like 80% of the type of stuff you want to capture.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of 20%, it maybe get a SLR or a compact camera.
Yeah. Well, that's basically explains as well I'm using normally, and that's just my smartphone, to be fair. When I film stuff, I use my smartphone.
Mm.
And the only addition that I have to my smartphone is a DJI gimbal to yep. stabilize the stuff.
Which smartphone do you use?
Just my my Pixel 2. Just
Pixel 2?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, but to be fair, I think nowadays it doesn't really matter which smartphone you use.
Yep.
Because it's all about the story anyway, and
yep.
no matter which phone you're using,
uh-huh.
90% of those phones, the yep. quality is good enough.
I completely agree. I honestly agree. I upgraded recently to S10, this phone right here, if you can see it. Yes, you can see it.
Yep.
So the thing about the S10 is that it's a great, good phone. It's one of the better Android phones, but I still think that iPhone 11 still has a slight edge. So for those people looking to get yourself into smartphone filming, lean towards the iPhone if you're undecided. Android, it's okay, but it's not perfect, put it
yeah.
that way.
Yeah, so the only addition that I have to that is that like the problem with smartphones in general is that the audio quality is really, really bad in my experience. So
yes, yes.
The first thing that I invested in was just an external microphone. So I'm using a lav mic normally. Mm-hmm. With nowadays a Tascam hand recorder that you could use.
Yep.
But before I just used it in another iPhone where I plugged it in. So
yep.
if someone was filming me, they could stand from a distance and I just could capture the audio directly from myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could stand wherever I was basically. It was a wireless setup and the audio uh-huh. is so much better than just from your phone.
So just in case people don't know what's a lavalier mic, what is a lavalier mic?
A lavalier mic is like you saw it on the video as well playing in the background, but it's basically a mic that you will clip on somewhere on your shirt or on your jacket and it just captures mm-hmm. the audio directly from there.
Oh, so basically it just like hangs on a side here and then you just speak into it like
correctly.
A mini microphone.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I even see people online, to be fair, using their Bluetooth headphones, connecting into their phone and just using their microphone from
yep.
the Bluetooth headphone. And even that works fine if you want to start out, to be fair.
Yep, yep. Like, so there's actually no real barriers to just starting out filming with good audio. In fact, I would argue that it's better to focus on better audio than just like the best lens or best camera or whatever, because you don't really need it. It's actually audio which is harder to do well, which is one of the reasons I actually have a fairly complicated series of audio setups doing my type of stuff. So should I talk about my audio setup?
Yeah, what are you using for your audio then, Joe?
Well, okay then. So I recently upgraded to, you can't see, it's off camera, but it's called a VideoMic NTG. And it's a gorgeous lens, gorgeous microphone, because it combines two types of microphones. It's the portability of the VideoMic series, but it's also, as you see on screen right now, it's also it's a part of the NTG family, and it's one of the more broadcast quality microphones. So if you're doing a voiceover, it's great because you can actually stick it just above you and you can just talk like you would normally talk in a professional studio. But you can also do what we're doing, and it's got wide enough to allow two people to do like a live stream right now. It's amazing.
How does it work? Like, for example, if I would use this mic in mm-hmm. a setup where...
Oh, you can use it as a vlogging microphone.
Yeah,
as well.
For vlogging I can imagine it works well. But let's say I will use it for someone who's standing 4 meters away.
Yeah, so the good thing about this particular microphone is actually battery powered. So unlike another popular travel mic, the Video Micro, it's actually got quite a strong length to it. So
mm-hmm.
you can stand 3-4 meters away. I mean, it's going to be quite noisy, especially if it's in the public,
yeah.
but you can still definitely hear it. So I could put this microphone in the corner and the audio wouldn't be the best, but it's still passable in a controlled environment like we are. So if you're standing in the street and it's fairly quiet and you're standing mm-hmm. against the wall, it's possible you can use it as a presenting microphone.
Okay, so that works as well.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
And is there any other gear in specific that you're using?
Oh yeah, I also use an InstaMic. Now, the good thing about my second microphone I use, this is, I call it the GoPro of microphones, because it basically hooks onto your little t-shirt and you can use it as an external recorder and you can control it through your phone, and the quality that comes out is amazing. What I'll do is I'll add a couple of links in this video to where I've actually filmed a couple mm-hmm. of vlogs where I'm using the InstaMic, sorry. And the InstaMic is a, yeah.
And does it work well with the InstaMic in terms of, because at least with a lavalier mic, you can have those windscreen protectors on top
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yep.
I can imagine you don't have such a thing for the InstaMic.
You do, actually.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. It's completely accessorized like a microphone that you need in any type of situation. There's wind muffs, and it's just really, really portable. I use it for my professional work as well. It's just really handy. I've used it as my backup microphone when I go do weddings as well, stuff like that. It's really versatile.
Yeah, and the battery of the thing is all right as well?
It lasts for absolutely hours on end. I'm hoping you can still hear me with the person doing some
factory. We have someone hoovering the office at the moment, yeah. So that's, sorry yes, for that.
That's it.
You might even see him in the background passing by, to be fair.
Wave to us. Okay, maybe doesn't want to wave to us by the looks of things.
No, yeah.
Anyway, what's next?
So I think for the next section, maybe we should move to a country and feature a country.
A country.
The idea was that every week or every now and then, when we have traveled, we would come back to that country on the stream, and the other person can ask us questions, and you guys in the live stream can participate as well and ask that person all the questions you have about visiting this country. Yes. So, what are the questions you have about the country that we are going to discuss now? Because people don't know yet what we are going to discuss.
Well, I suppose like the first question is, what is the country?
So, the country that we are doing is South Korea, I guess, for this instance. You picked it because you have never been to South Korea.
Never been.
I've been in October last year, so that was my most recent faraway trip, if you would name it like in that way.
Uh-huh.
Of course, in this moment in time, due to coronavirus, maybe don't visit it or whatever. Make a decision yourself. But
not health advice.
We don't give health advice here. But besides that, do you have any questions for me for this trip that I made in South Korea?
I do. See, I had this picture that South Korea is... Have you ever been to Japan?
I have been to Japan, yes, I have.
I get the feeling that Seoul is just as expensive as going to Tokyo, for example. Is that the case?
So, before I will dive into details about how much it exactly cost me, mm-hmm. I was pleasantly surprised about how much I paid in South Korea, because I've been to Japan,
yep.
And Japan is a typical country where you will go and you will pay roughly the same price here as in any Western country.
Right.
But you also need to pay for flight tickets to Japan. So Japan is relatively expensive, basically.
Mm-hmm. Another question I have then about South Korea. So
Let's finish this mm-hmm. cost question then first that you had, because basically I talked about Japan.
Yep.
But maybe it's a good idea to watch a video I did about where I explicitly told how much I paid.
Okay.
So basically, I traveled the whole way from Seoul to Jeonju to Busan and then back. And that cost me for 14 days, $556.
Oh, that's it.
So that's roughly around $40 a day per person.
Okay. Does that include the travel cost, or is it just
the... That's not the plane ticket. It includes everything when you're there.
So like, you know, the local trains or buses or wherever you call to different, different places.
Everything spread out over that period. So
really? We
stayed 7 days in Seoul and then traveled around a bit as well. So 3 days in Busan and some two other places as well.
I see.
So we went, for example, to a Lantern Festival in Jeonju.
Yep.
And some other places as well where you had some traditional culture. And so just everything, the whole trip was roughly $40
per person. That's actually pretty good. That's a lot more cheaper than I was expecting. A lot cheaper. Really good insight as well.
Yeah, but the good thing about South Korea in that perspective is the major thing that you want to do there, and one of the major tourist attractions, to call it in that way, is just experience the food.
That
so
is true.
Normally you have the food costs during your trip, plus mm-hmm. all the other things that you want to visit.
Yeah.
But in this instance, you will have just the food cost as your attraction, because it's a thing on its own to do.
That's true. I must admit, I've tasted quite a bit of Korean food. I'm guessing the Korean food actually in Korea is even better than what we have over here.
Yeah, it is. But I have to admit, Korean food is great.
Yep.
But the main issue is with Korean food, after a couple of days, or like at least after 2 weeks, I was kind of done with kimchi, all the flavored kind of food that I have, because the marinade that they're using has all the same type of flavor.
I see.
And the main product is just so bloody expensive.
Oh, so your
fruit is so expensive.
Okay, so this is the funny thing. Like, coming from Europe and what have you, I get the feeling that you have to have veg and fruit, fresh fruit, a lot more often than, say, I'm from Hong Kong. We have lots of fresh veg, but we don't have that much fruit, I must admit.
No, I'm used to have...
That might be a
lie. Well, I'm used to have fruit every day, so it's like, during a trip, I know I will have less food, but there is just an issue that after a while, you want to have some fruit, and we checked prices in the supermarket, and it's just ridiculous. It's literally, you're paying, what was it again? For a box of cherry tomatoes, it's the same price as to get like a salmon and a steak.
What? That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's nuts. You pay £6 or something for like a box of grapes, that kind of stuff.
I see. So I'm guessing it's all imported and they don't grow it locally at all.
They don't have much fruit locally, I guess. That's the main problem. It's the same in Japan. It's like, they have some fruit locally, I guess, but most of the fruit you will find is not locally produced. So right. Yeah, those things are specific expensive.
Okay.
So, but if you can live without that for 2 weeks, then yeah, you're fine.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually don't eat that much fruit. I'm really, really unhealthy on that part. So I kind of like the idea of pickled vegetables for 2 weeks. Maybe it's because of my upbringing and my background, my Chinese background. But yeah, I'm just weird like that. I have another question about Korea.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like cultural sites, is it the same case that it's just as wacky or more, like, how does it compare to, say, Japan? I'm using Japan as my benchmark for Korea.
So Japan is, in that perspective, Japan is more tech, manga, cosplay focused.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, the image that you have with Japan and the weird culture that you can find there, which is great. South Korea is more about Korean K-pop, Gangnam Style. It's for women. It's perfect. I made this weird video about myself going out for fashion, because fashion is a real thing in South Korea, and I'm not a fashion guy. But there...
Really?
Hey, Korean sweater with turtleneck. Yeah, I'm not the one who's styling myself, unfortunately. But besides that, they have, for example, one famous tourist attraction is plastic surgery.
Yeah,
plastic surgery is a big thing there, so people are coming over there to do plastic surgery.
That is definitely a thing I've heard about. The Koreans loving plastic surgery. I just didn't really understand it until I watched a documentary. It's a
big thing there. There's like a street, and wherever you look, you will see plastic surgery shops wherever you look. And so that's something where you will see guys wearing makeup. That's a normal thing, that guys are wearing makeup or earrings or whatever. That's their fashion. So that's something you will see on the street.
I'm not judging Koreans at all when I say this, but wow, that's pretty amazing. Like, I can't imagine the... Okay, well, yeah, I feel like a dick for saying, so I won't say it.
No, but yeah, and then of course there's K-pop. So there's an area where there's what's the area called again? I should have known this, but there's an area in Seoul where people are performing at night and they're like dancing all the K-pop songs. And I was even sitting in a bus at some point in Busan, and the girl next to me was listening with her boyfriend to K-pop, and she was just doing the dance that belongs to that song in the bus. She just remembers the whole dance. That's really a thing.
Wow. So you can go to clubs then, I'm guessing, where everybody synchronizes to a dance.
Yeah.
Did you go to any?
I went to a club, yeah, I did, but it was more what you see there a lot as well still is hip-hop clubs, so that was a real thing.
Right.
Well,
the Koreans are known for their breakdancing and b-popping, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
B-boying?
I'm not sure.
I'm so not cool. I'm sorry. Please, I wish somebody on the stream would correct me.
Yeah, and then if you're interested in culture, it's a great place. They have loads of palaces and shrines and temples and old hammock villages, which are the old traditional houses.
Now you're getting me really interested. I'm loving that
site. That's well, if you know, have you ever been to China?
I've been to like the parts nearest to Hong Kong.
Yeah, so
not the mainland.
So basically, South Korea was part of the Chinese dynasty. So it was part of the Chinese empire. So it was a kingdom of the Chinese empire. So most of the old buildings, all the architecture and all that of that, the style is based on Chinese history.
Okay, okay. And so, well, it sounds like a type of place I would definitely be interested in going myself. Sounds like great food. I will be eating pickled veg every day with strong flavors and extreme spiciness. There's all this crazy old culture, which I'm definitely up for. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, you know what? I must admit, I'm a bit chubby around the chin, so I might need to like do some plastic surgery whilst I'm over there.
And one other last good place that is good to visit as well. If you're in Busan and you love photography anyway,
mm-hmm.
There's a great art village. What they basically, this place is related to the Korean War, so it's also, as a history person, mm-hmm. everything from Korean War is great. But this village now looks beautiful with all the houses, blue, orange, like art everywhere.
Oh, that looks amazing.
It's perfect for photographers.
Oh, jeepers.
And it's difficult to imagine that this place was a slum in the past. So all the war refugees from North Korea and stuff, they came here all the way to the south to flee from the Korean War.
Yep.
And they started this slum by themselves. And then in 2009, I believe, the government decided to give this area an uplift.
Okay.
So they hired artists just to paint the whole area. Now it's just a famous tourist attractions where people will come, shoot videos. It's a great place to hang out. And you can't imagine that just before that time, this area was just a slum, basically.
Oh, my days. It goes to show you can rejuvenate a place with some pretty colors and some actual initiatives like this.
I love
the street art. It's amazing.
Lots of cats as well, so yeah. It's a great place. It's small alleys, street stairs.
So this is Busan.
That's in Busan, so that's completely in the south. So if you're going during summertime, then you can do a beach holiday there as well.
Last question about Korea before we move on. Tell me, how when's the best time to go? I'm not a big fan of heat.
You're not a big fan for heat. I would say, to be fair, then I guess when we were there in October is a good time for you.
Yep.
It's around 20 degrees.
That's a good temperature for me.
It's a good temperature to walk around.
Yep.
And there are two great festivals to visit. So there's in Seoul, there's the International Fireworks Festival. So if you're into fireworks, you can visit there, the Fireworks Festival.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, of course, what I mentioned as well, in Jinju, there's the Lantern Festival, which is great to visit. And yeah, there are like great lanterns to visit. And night photography is a real thing there.
That sounds great to me.
Yeah, and they have some crazy performances as well, where I think, what the hell are they doing there as well? But that's maybe people like kids who have been trained from when they were born to do those stuff. So I will not be able to copy that.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that to the professionals.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Right. So, well, thanks, Sven, for enlightening me about South Korea. I'm definitely, definitely interested. If any of you guys are also interested in South Korea, let us know in the comments.
Oh, no, in the meantime,
I'm on Sven's channel. So if for whatever reason you're looking at Sven's channel thinking, not too sure about this, and you want to switch to somebody slightly better looking, switch to my channel. It's exactly the same stream. Don't do that. Anyway, shall we move to the next question? Next section of today.
Which will be the question of the week.
Right, so yes, what is the question of the week? The question of the week is, as a person coming to London, do you need an Oyster card? So just in case people don't know, throughout the TFL, throughout the public transport system, you can actually use one card. It's the blue card called the Oyster card.
Yeah.
And Oyster card effectively is a prepaid card card that you can use on the underground, the buses, the trains, within most of the zones 1 to 4, 5. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically on most zone 1 till 8 or 9 or something already. You can even use it to some airports. So if you would go to Gatwick Airport, for example, you can use an Oyster card as well.
Yes, that's
and if
right.
you come from Heathrow all the way into London, you can use an Oyster card as well.
That's it. That's exactly it. So it's great. The Oyster card is fantastic. But the thing is that there's more and more people using, pretty much Google Pay, Apple Pay, and pretty much wireless, like, touch cards. So Oyster cards aren't as important. There are some countries that don't have as their debit cards or credit cards wireless pay. So you want to use an Oyster card, because if you try to pay using regular cash, it's becoming harder and harder. I think there's a couple of places you can do that, but it's not really worth the bother. Don't bother paying for paper tickets. Just get yourself an Oyster card. It's actually cheaper than paper tickets. So that is one of the top tips of coming to visit to London.
Besides that, don't even bother by cash, because you can't even use, if you want to take a bus, you can't even use
That's
cash.
Right.
Buses
exactly.
don't accept cash.
That's it.
And then the main question is, should you get an Oyster card? I think that question is something nowadays that I can't answer anymore. I see still online people saying you have to take an Oyster card.
Again,
I would say for some people it makes sense, but it depends if you have a contactless card already, and it depends on what your arrangement is with the bank and your transaction fees and exchange rates. Is it cheaper to pay for a big amount at once and top up your Oyster card?
Uh-huh.
Or would it be better to just pay whatever, like once a day? Because if you pay by contactless, it will be deducted at the end of the day.
That actually, you make a very good point. As a person who comes from London, I don't worry about like a currency exchange charges. So I suppose if you're coming into England, actually, it kind of makes more sense to buy a prepaid card. That way you can monitor the costs that like gather over the period of your time. Because there's one thing about transport in London, it's quite expensive. You can easily clock up quite a bit. There is a daily limit when you travel around London, thankfully.
And there's one tip for people who are settling down in London and are wondering if they need to take an Oyster card, yes or no. I am using still an Oyster card. And the only reason why I'm using an Oyster card is because you can buy in the UK a so-called rail card.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the age. So nowadays you can get a rail card between 18 and 30, I believe. Like there's 18 till 25 and then 26 till 30 or 31.
Uh-huh.
And this gives you a 30% discount on UK rail travel, but will give you also the discount on the tube.
Now,
and that also limits your daily limit for the tube as well. So if you travel in weekends and stuff, which normally I cycle to work during weekdays, and then weekends I will use the tube.
Mm-hmm.
Then I use my Oyster card, because that's limited to £6 a day. I don't know exactly what the limit is.
Depends on which zones you travel
zones
to.
As well, but
yeah.
it's way less than if I would pay by contactless. So
the fact that you actually get like a 30% discount as well, is it 30%?
More than 30 at least, so it's at least above 30%.
Okay, so yeah, people who are coming to London or live here medium long term, definitely make a note of that. Get yourself an Oyster card with a discount for the rail card discounts. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for now. Okay, so I think we're coming to almost a close to our stream.
I think so, yeah.
But we should have one more thing to talk about, and that is the vote for the topic for the next.
Yes. So.
Right, because we're actually trying to build more of a community around our stream, we thought we'd offer you the guys our opportunity to vote for a topic to talk about next week. And the three suggestions we suggested was the topics to talk about is solo versus group travel, which is better. Topic number two, biggest travel fails. I think we definitely have a few travel fails in both our travel.
Will this be travel fails? Fails like epic fails that's because of us, or just bad things that happen during travel?
Either.
things. Let's leave it open for now, and you guys decide. Maybe we're not even talking about this.
So the third one is, what was the most epic travel trip? Well, which I think between us we've got quite a few. So the three are, again, solo versus group travel. Second one, biggest travel fails. And the third one, what was our most epic travel? Out of those three, let us know with a vote. I'm going to be posting on my Instagram, and people can just vote throughout the whole week, and I'm going to be gathering my tallies, and I'm guessing you'll probably
I will do the same. You can leave it down in the comments below, or I will try to post it on my stories as well on Instagram, just because I'm bad on posting on Instagram, so I'm not promising anything here, but I will try to put it somewhere during that time period on my Instagram.
Okay, and just for my audience, where can people find yourself?
Everywhere, type in Svenyware and you will find me wherever you want to find me. I'm most active on YouTube nowadays, and I try sometimes to do something on Instagram.
Oh, okay, I'm the reverse. I'm still like not as active on YouTube, and I definitely am a lot more active on Instagram stories, and I love to chat to different people on Twitter. So This Way Up or This Way Up Travel, type in those two, you'll find me on all the socials.
Alright, and then I think we'll leave it there, and thank you guys again for watching. We are going on for a while, I know that. Next time we will try to keep it a little bit shorter, but thanks for watching.
And thank you, I'll see you at the next stream.